Sovereign Lord, we bring ourselves to you. We praise you and we thank you. You are so gracious to us, so faithful to us, and you give us everything. We give you ourselves, and you give us everything in return. We are your treasures. We are the pearl of great price to you. You have bought us with your Son, whom you glorified. We look to him, Lord. We thank you that you have given us life in abundance. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you'll be with us in everything that we do and that we will not lose our focus on you, because you are the center of our being. Praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So to start off with, I'm going to talk a little bit about what gets me excited about God. And then I'm going to introduce you to some of the other team members. For me, it's prayer, intercession prayer. So what do we know about prayer? It works. Hallelujah. Because we have a living God, a God who sees everything and wants to gather us to himself. And not just us who know him, but everyone, every single person on the planet. A God who wants to set captives free, bring sight to the blind, make the lame jump for joy. A few years ago in my quiet time, I asked God to teach me how to pray like Jesus did. I wanted to touch the heart of the Father, to understand the power of prayer, to experience a partnership with him in seeing his will fulfilled through prayer. Within days of that, I found a growing desire to praise him and discovered that I could download live worship music to my phone. I started listening and found myself singing at all hours of the day and night the new songs I had heard. They in turn brought me into closer fellowship with him. The Bible became a living book full of God's wisdom and promises. I found that I started to use scripture all the time in my prayer life. It became my light and my sword. Then I started being woken up in the middle of the night with someone or something in my thoughts. There was that persistent nudge from the Holy Spirit, and I was compelled to go downstairs, get on my knees and pray. Sometimes it would only be for a few minutes, sometimes much longer. Sometimes I was so sleepy, I found it hard to concentrate. And I would have to use tongues because I didn't know anything specific about the subject I was praying about, or even the names of the people I was praying for. I soon discovered that God's heart aches and longs for the lost, for those caught up in this world and the darkness surrounding them, for those who don't know him yet, and for those who once knew him as children or teenagers or adults, those who've fallen away. Brothers and sisters, this world has no one else to speak up for them. No one else to ask for God's mercy on their behalf. There is anger and fear and worry and feelings of endless depression, like storm waves crashing through our world. There are huge numbers of individuals who are committing suicide. There are people locked into destructive patterns of abuse. People are alone, ashamed, scared, relentlessly pursued by hatred, weighed down by sadness, drowning in anxiety, living in anger and desperation, without a word of kindness, treated violently, betrayed, unforgiven, surrounded by lies and deceit, compelled to hate and destroy others in return. Not just unbelievers, there are lost sheep, many, many prodigals, snared by the lies of spiritual forces. And God wants to welcome them back, to run to them and wrap them in his arms, to bring them home. Our God can and does break through this to transform lives by his grace. And the truth of our and the truth of his gospel. He uses us to stand in the gap, to intercede by prayer. Prayer changes things. I found that I've been drawn into a healthy lament and sadness about our fallen world, and yet also a victorious proclamation of his promises, a standing in mature and confident faith that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. What does intercession mean? It says the definition is the action of intervening on behalf of another. What does intervention mean? It means to take part in something so as to prevent or alter a result or course of events. In Ezekiel 22, God is looking for people to stand in the gap because he loves people. He loves the world. He loves us. And he wants us to work with him to alter and change a course of events or a result. We can do this. He has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. This is our spiritual life. He has given us the scripture to enable us to do this. He's given us each other to bind together with his promises of where two or three are gathered in my name. Then I'm in the midst. He says, call on me and I will answer. Praise God. He wants to work with us in this world. Our spiritual life is giving Jesus into this world through the gifts of the Spirit and through prayer. Now I'm going to hand over to Wendy, who's going to share a little bit about what she wants to say. Over to you, Wendy.
My passion is sharing the Bible, always has been. But you see, I can remember as a very young Christian, more than half a century ago, by the way, I can remember wanting to read the Bible. The only one in the house was my mother's authorized version. And well, I did what you do with a book. You start at the beginning. And I got lost. I couldn't understand it. In the end, I gave up, totally confused. And then the minister of the church that I was in then formed a young people's Bible study group. And that was the beginning of change. And I got a feeling that possibly there are people in SCF who might actually identify with what I'm saying, because some of you don't necessarily find reading the Bible easy. But you see, the Bible isn't one book. When you pick up your Bible, you are picking up a small portable library. You've got 66 books written over hundreds of years, and they're about all sorts. There's romance, there's poetry, history, biography, part of a travel document, letters, as well as the things that we recognize as being prophetic. But all of these things are what God has given us. That's his book. And it's great. What I'm saying is this, if anything that I've said today makes you think, oh yeah, I could do with a bit more help, if I can help in any way, big or small, then please ask, because I'd love to get you as excited about the Bible as I can be.
Thank you, Wendy. Absolutely brilliant. Jesus had a favourite saying. Well, he had lots of favourite sayings, but he was quite good at one thing. And he used to say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's get our ears open and listen to what God is saying. I'm going to hand over to Roy now, who's got a testimony. And again, let's just listen to hear what God is saying to us. Over to you, Roy.
Thanks, Dave. This year has been, well, for the last 12 months have been very crazy, I've found. What with lockdown and everything. But one thing I've found this year is that you can't lock down God. That's one thing you can't do. And I believe he's been speaking to me this year about all sorts of things, but two particular things. One is regarding healing, another one regarding provision. The first one I want to testify is last year, somebody with quite a problem with my knee, as quite a few of you probably know, had to have an operation, which I've now recovered from, which is fantastic. But right at the beginning of, must have been, before we had the first lockdown, must be February or March, I woke up one morning and out of bed, and I couldn't straighten my left knee. I couldn't straighten it at all. And when I put pressure on it, it felt really painful. Apparently what it was a cartilage which had broken off and caught in my knee joint. And it was so painful. It was like my leg was going to break. The next day I was due to lead worship at the Citadel for the first meeting we had there. Anyway, I sent out a text for prayer. Martin rang me. And I sat down in the chair and he said, "Roy, do you think I should need to get somebody else to lead worship?" And I said to him, "I'm not going to let any pain stop me from worshiping God." And he said, "That's fantastic. So can I pray for you?" So Martin prayed for me, which was good. And he put the phone down. I got out of the chair and I was healed, completely healed. What had happened in my knee had gone, and I could walk around. I just couldn't stop praising and worshiping God for what he'd done. God heals. And that was proof that he heals in an instant, which is fantastic. The second thing I want to say is I stepped down from leading the worship band a few years ago. I felt it was the right thing to do. I stopped leading worship as well for a couple of years. Went back to leading worship anyway, which I enjoy, but I felt it was right to do that at the time. And I was trying to ask God, "Well, what do you want me to do? What's the next step?" And all through this lockdown and this crazy last 12 months we've had, he kept putting a word into my mind. Whatever I looked at, whatever I read, whatever I listened to, was the word was mentor. It kept coming up, mentor. Being quite slow to pick things up, I think he was talking to me about getting a mentor, really. Let's move on now to, just a month ago. I now have a spiritual mentor, which is a great guy in this church. I'm not sure who it is. He might say who it is, but that's my spiritual mentor. But on top of that, I've also now got a Christian artistic mentor group in the United States, which is absolutely phenomenal. I'm an artist as well as a musician, and I believe God is leading me into art and music, and somehow to combine the two. Goodness knows how, but God knows. And what I'm trying to say, I think, in this is, if you want to know what God is leading you to do, what he wants you to do, just listen, just look, and just take in what he's saying. And just shut up yourself and just listen, because you'll be amazed what he has for you. Amen.
I'd like to ask now Cedria, if you could unmute and share. That would be great. Thank you.
Among my group of friends, I've got one particular friend who we've just got into the habit of we speak at least once a day on the phone. And it can be just talking about what we're doing for the day or what we've done, any issues. And just really if anything funny's happened. And our relationship has sort of deepened really because of that. And over the last year, I would say that my prayer life has deepened. I'm not saying that I'm on my knees praying for hours every day. I don't think it's necessarily the amount, but the quality. And that is one thing that I've found that has really helped me get through this difficult time. And what my desire is from being part of this group is that everybody within SCF, whether they're 8 or 80 and anything in between, is that we all have a vibrant living relationship with Jesus, so that prayer is a natural thing. It's not, oh, it's Wednesday, it's a prayer meeting, I suppose I ought to do it. But the fact that talking to Jesus becomes a joy and something that we look forward to. I'm not saying I've got there, because I haven't and I never will. But I think that is really what my desire is as being part of this group. And I was on an online conference yesterday, which was quite interesting, but there was one line that I picked out. And it was around discipleship, but what they said was, strategy is great, but power and presence is much better. So that's what I would like to see for all of us in the coming months, years.
I'm just going to go straight back to Denise, who's going to share a little bit about her passion.
Well, I think those of you who know me know that I believe that prayer should be a natural response in our lives, both inside and outside the church. Not just to say, I'll pray about that, but to do it and to start doing it straight away if possible. It's not about fancy words and complicated long prayers. We're coming to our Father and our friend who already knows what we're going to say. It's about relationship with Jesus. You talk to your friends. That's why I believe that prayer should be a natural response in our lives, as Cedric was just saying. Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, he, that's God, delights in the prayers of the upright. He wants us to include him in all areas of life. And James 5 verse 6 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Or in another version, the prayer from the heart of a man or woman right with God has much power. Our prayers make a difference. They really, really do. When we involve God in our everyday lives, anything is possible. The other thing I wanted to say is, when I read the Bible, particularly the Gospels and Acts, I'm always struck by how people were drawn to find out more about Jesus because of signs and wonders. They heard about the blind man who could now see. They heard about the leopard who was healed, or the lame man who was now walking, and they wanted to know what was going on. if people see miracles and healings and things that wouldn't normally happen, they're interested to find out more. Jesus says in Mark 16, 17 and 18, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. And in verse 20, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. I believe that it's still God's plan that his people should pray and that there will be miracles and healings and that God will do things that only he can. I really, really want to have more faith and believe that in our days that people will know that there is an amazing God as they encounter his power at work through signs and wonders. That we wouldn't just have to tell people about Jesus, but that they would see for themselves a God who can break into lives to heal, to give them the miracle they need. It would be much harder for people to ignore the Christians they know if where the Christians went, miracles followed. I want to have faith and be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will do in our days.
Wow, it's a real feast this morning, isn't it? All sorts of stuff being said, and we're all part of the same body. Hallelujah. Trevor, over to you.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, everyone. Well, I've been asked to share what I'm passionate about and also a testimony. And my passion really is to see the church in action. I long to see the church in action. I long to see us living in a space that Denise has just spoken about, and as we see in the book of Acts. As a young man, I was assistant pastor in a church, and I felt the Holy Spirit lead me to this particular scripture, and I really felt Jesus speak these words into my being. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As I was pastoring, I felt God say, go. And so I took that to heart and I began to go. I began to go into townships, rural areas, and it was amazing to see how God opened doors. The church released me to travel as an evangelist in my early days. God gave me a tent. That tent became too small. He gave me another tent. He gave me a big Mercedes lorry to cart everything around in. An event, and that was a 1,700-seater tent. And I would go into the townships like Soweto, if you've heard of that, and started traveling into different nations. Eventually, the tent became too cumbersome. I sold that, and I had a fleet of vehicles. And I would go into the different nations like Mozambique, Uganda, Tanzania, many, Botswana, Malawi, and preach the gospel. And I've literally seen thousands upon thousands of people receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their lives. I've had the privilege of preaching to thousands of people and seeing them respond. I've lived in a space where signs and wonders just took place in our meetings all the time, seeing people healed and seeing demons fleeing as well. And so I've had a really privileged life living in the book of Acts and seeing God provide finances for me to travel. And I've really traveled to many parts of the world as well. God has been good. I've led leaders conferences, hosted those, and helped raise up leaders, planted churches together with them. I started a missions training school and saw hundreds of people coming with me into the different nations to preach the gospel. And so that's my passion. I want to see the church arise, arising in action. God bless.